Blog Talk Radio.
This is Patty Holstrand, and this is KWOD Radio. And I'm not sure if we're doing a show today, because I never did hear from the particular person who we're supposed to have a show with today. But, you know, just in case she shows up, I thought I'd better put her up. We're talking about 7 Minutes of Death with Jay Stritch. The lady, she's got a, what are memories that are that will define you when you're gone? Which I thought was an interesting premise. And it said that when you die, your brain stays active for 7 minutes. So that's the reason why she called her book 7 Minutes. Her particular book actually is a collector. This collector of these memories has the most interesting story of all to tell. By following the intertwining lives of a group of characters, we are taken on a journey through some amazing experiences, loss, love, guilt, failure, success, and what defines us as human beings. The very essence of these people emerges from their memories. And you know, if Jay doesn't come on, I'm going to talk about this anyway. Because I have my own experiences to talk about when it comes to those things. So if she doesn't show up, that's okay. Because you know what? We can do the show without her. It would be better, obviously, if she came on, especially since my cat's trying to drink my shake here. Hey, Squeaker. So let's talk for a minute about what is a memory. A memory is actually like a snapshot of something that happened. And, you know, whether it's a scene or whether it's a split second moment and you remember it. Do we always remember everything the same way that it came out? No. No, we don't. And that's because, you know, our residual memory remembers things in other ways. Anybody wants to call and talk to me about this? I'd be more than happy to talk about it. And I'll give you guys like maybe 30 minutes if I can actually go that long. I haven't been feeling myself the last few days. It's been creeping crud running around. But I have to say that, you know, anyway, give me a call if you have any ideas about this. 714-242-5145. Again, you know, there's two things that they say that everyone has to deal with, and one is death and taxes. That's two things, of course. But the issue is, you know, nonetheless, we have to consider what death is and consider when we would die. And sometimes, you know, we get freaked out about it because we think, you know, that's the end, kaput, that's all there is to it. And that scares some people. And, you know, just to say it scared most people. Some people who, you know, they consider, well, I don't want to die. Well, you know what? I don't think anybody really wants to die. I have known some very old folks who, you know, they were okay with dying because they've already lived their lives and you know, they were on what they call cruise control. And a few of them told me this. In other words, nothing really exciting, more exciting in their lives, and they were just on holding pattern, which is kind of sad. You know, they get that up there in that age, and they're just waiting for death to come. and take them. So I thought, you know, I don't want to ever be really that way. And for those of you who probably maybe heard my story, it's what I call a near-death experience, which, you know, near-death is when you, well, they say near-death is when you actually died and you came back alive. To me, I don't think that's near-death. You already were dead. Near-death to me is when you were supposed to die and you didn't. To me, that's crazy, isn't it? And it was some years ago, about 10 or so years ago, went in for an operation that went bad, and one it was staph infection that was left growing inside me. And I went in that the second time, had scraped out, and they put me on 3 different antibiotics in order to kill the staph infection, and finally said, okay, it's almost gone. We're going to send you home with some more antibiotics. And that was a 7 days. So it was an operation, original operation for 2 days. Second time in there, I was in there for 7 days. And then a few months later, I wound up in an emergency room, not able to breathe because the infection had gotten so bad that it had taken over a lot of my system and it was spreading. And so that was my third time in the hospital that year. And yes, to say the least, this does scare me and all that, you know, blink of an eye thing that people go through. And after a few minutes, you know, my mom finally got to the hospital and she said, so what did the doctor say? And I told her, the surgeon said, you know, that if I didn't die, that I would be in a colostomy bag the rest of my life. Now, I'm not sure which one would have been worse. we all have to live with things that go wrong with us. And, of course, I'm never going to be the same since then. There's a lot of things, yeah, and that I know more than it, so now. But one thing I know from that day is that I lived through it. And when I said to my mother that I was okay with it, but my son, who was 7 at the time, was not going to understand the loss of his mom. And that's actually the hardest thing right there, and that, of course, that probably would have been my last memory, is the regret of having to leave my son that early in his life. That probably would have been my last memory if I would have died on the table that day. But I didn't. I didn't die that day. I lived to talk about it, lived to tell, and realized when I woke up and that survived, that I meant to do something else. I meant there's something that I hadn't done yet in this life, and was given a chance to actually get her done. So then I said, well, what is it that you were meant to do? Well, that's just, each person has their own journey, and mine has taken me around and around circles. Not sure about you guys. By the way, the phone call-in number, if you want to call and argue with me, or if you want to just say, give your brush with death story, 714-242-5145. Also, if you're just too embarrassed, don't want to talk about it, or it's just too close to everything, we've got the chat. It's down below the information about the show. Just offer it up, and I'll read it online. And just wanted to say that when it comes to memories and near death, this is 7 minutes for your brain to stay alive. Actually, I've heard it said that it's longer than that, but, you know. I think that is a certain parts of your brain stay alive, and then, but the part that's you, or the soul, or whatever it is that you believe in. I believe that as a soul, but it's, you know, whatever you believe in, no hardship to me. I mean, the soul, it does leave the body and goes to a different place. Now, does that mean that you're dead? Actually, I don't think you are. I mean, if your soul's alive, which is part of your, body that's alive, and if your body dies, but your soul leaves the body, then technically you're not dead. So the story, the idea here is not so much fearing death. To me, it's not about fearing death. It's about fearing what you didn't do in this life, your regrets. And so that's the real story here. And I think that this story here by Jay probably depicts that. That each person has a journey, she puts it. Yeah, and every person's journey is amazing. Yeah, everybody's life is amazing. Because, it's just, we're so intricately made. I mean, just look at us. Our fingers, work because our brain tells it to. It's an amazing life that we live. So, our amazing experiences, love, loss, guilt, failure, success, everything that defines us as human beings. Does your soul define you as a human being? I think so. Do I think everybody has a soul? Well, that's a tough one because, I've seen some people who may have souls, but they're so blocked that you might as well not be there. I'm not talking about color your skin. I'm talking about what's inside of you. So, I always wondered whether or not everyone had a soul. It would be curious to me whether or not everyone did. I think that perhaps there's a lot of truth when it comes to spiritual gifts. And if we don't open the boxes that are offered to us, then we don't have that gift, and perhaps that's where the soul is, along with these spiritual gifts. So, I don't talk about religion very often, and I'm not really talking about religion here, really. I'm talking more about, if you fear death, what I personally find to be the truth based on what I've experienced in my life, but especially my fresh with death. And I really did stand there or lay there that day and say that I was okay with it. And I really was. My only regret was, of course, leaving my son. So you have to consider what is it that you would regret? What would you regret if you left the world today? And so that's the real question here. What would you regret? And if you did regret something, is there any way to change that before you actually do have to regret it? Is there something that you're supposed to be doing that you haven't done yet? Everyone's meant to find it, find it out. Find what it is that they're meant to do. And no, not everybody's meant to be president of the United States. Not everybody's meant to be a lawyer. Not everybody's meant to be wealthy. Some of it is our lot in life to be poor, unfortunately. But, what do we give back? What do we give that comes back to us? I have a friend who is helping work on his spiritual books, three of them. And we're doing workbooks to go with them because I think that anyone could, really get something out of his books. And they are not supposed to meant for fast reads. You're supposed to take time. You take time to not only to understand yourself better, but understand the world that you live in. Because it's, humans are tough people to get along with. But you go back out to nature and you see it for what it is. And then really get in tune with yourself. Before I got married, I said that I was glad I lived on my own for a while. And I had friends who said, well, why is that? And I said, because how can I possibly take care of my new husband if I can't take care of myself first? And so learned that you needed to grow as a person, needed to learn something before you took on a new life, which was a dual life, so to speak, as a husband becomes wife and husband become one. And I think that a lot of people don't really believe that anymore, where the man and woman becomes one and they work together in unison to bring up a family, to live this life, to do whatever it is that we're on this earth to do. Doesn't matter what you believe in, whether it's God or Krishna or whatever. We're all meant here to be here for some reason, in my opinion. And on your deathbed, are you going to say, I'm okay with this except for that one thing I didn't do? And if you know what it is, then why didn't you do it? So that's the question, everyone. What is it that you're meant to do? And when you do find out, you need to work towards it. And no, you don't need to do it all at once. Will you survive it? Will you be able to get it done? Oh, I don't know. But the point is that you're working towards it, whatever this is. Whatever that reason or multiple reasons, some people have multiple reasons to be here. I know I have multiple reasons. I mean, obviously, you're multiple of reasons to be here. If you're a father or a mother, sister, brother, parent, you have dual roles already. And there are multiple reasons for you to be here. It's not just to have babies. Okay? Your multiple reason to be here is to reach out to others and to help others to do whatever it is that they're meant to do as well. Because when you do that, wonderful things happen back for you. So with that, it's KWOD Radio. This is Patty Holstrand. I'm going to take a short break here. See if I can find our wayward guest here. I'm a soul woman. I'm a good sock. I'm a soul woman. Kind of an appropriate song, isn't it? This is Patty Hillstrand. And we're talking near death and callings and trying to keep it out of religion. Not everything's about religion, guys. But we can talk about chocolate if you want to. Chocolate's kind of like a religion. You don't think so? Ask somebody who loves chocolate. Remember that the call number is 714-242-5145. It's only going to be good for a few more minutes because you know what? I could not get through to the person who I needed to talk to. So I'm probably going to cut this short. But I do want to go into, you know, if you guys want to talk about what we just talked about, which is near death and my story about near death and my feeling about it and things that happened to me for real. It's one reason I wanted to talk to Jay Stritch because her book, 7 Minutes, has to do with the 7 minutes that your brain has the memories and stores the memories. I thought it was an interesting premise that the fictionalized story based on that. And a collector collects these memories and follows the intertwining lives of a group of characters. So a book called 7 Minutes. Hey, Jay, you missed your moment. And here I pushed it out to 4:30 because of the fact that the time change was different when I set this up. And it's now an hour earlier there. So, what's coming up, guys? Oh, we got a lot of things. Memorial Day, yay. For those who actually take holidays, you're more than welcome to have them. I don't usually remember what they are. Thank goodness my calendar does. Anyway, Memorial Day, 26th. Monday. What else we got going on? Hey, we got Arizona Dream and Romance Conference. Arizona Dream and Romance Conference is on the 30th or 31st. It's going to be a full day of just nothing but romance. Lots of books, lots of authors. Lots of sharing, lots of craziness, lots of laughter. Giggling with a bunch of women about romance is awesome, guys. This is so much fun. And I'm not sure whether I'll make it this year just because of I'm saving money up for other things. Speaking of it, we got Phoenix Comic Con. Phoenix Comic Con starts on the 5th. From June 5th through the 8th. They don't need any PR, but there it is. Phoenix Comic Con. Yeah, 55,000 people supposedly last year. Now, how many think you're going to have this year? It's not on Memorial Weekend, which would be interesting to see how they survive that. And all right, we'll see. Anyway, we're out there. My media. Well, sorry, guys. I didn't mean to sneeze in your ears here. Yeah, thank you. You hear that? Squeaker said, bless me. Anyway, and we have Combat Con in Las Vegas on the 13th, 14th, 15th. I'm going to be there Thursday night and 12th. My own gaggle of girls. Terry Smith and Tina Williams. Going to be a hoot. We've got a time travel party. I'm going to do a time travel ball. Anybody got any ideas of what I should go as? Something that's cheap that I can put together in a day? You know what the number is? Yes, right. 714-242-5145. What's on chat? It's being awful quiet out there. Of course, it's not my usual time, so you know you guys are being awful quiet. I know you guys weren't quiet yesterday. Sorry about that. What else we got going on? I'm back on, so that's 13th, 14th, 15th. Also, right here in Phoenix, the Mad Monster Party in Phoenix. This is an outside group that's coming in and actually doing Monster Party. I'm not quite sure why it needs to be 3 days, but, you know, it's going to be a long freaking party. Is it really a party? Well, it's kind of like a party dressed up as a con, in my opinion. Still an odd time of year to have Halloween, but, you know, to each his own. You know, I think Halloween is like every day. I think it's gotten to that point. I don't think Christmas is not every day, and that's a little shame because, you know, Christmas has that, you know, great feeling about it, but it's not always happy, so maybe that's why. But then again, Halloween is really, you know, you get excited, but, you know, you can only have so much candy. So what is it about Halloween that intrigues everyone? I don't know. Call me out and talk about it. What is it about Halloween that intrigues you guys? Be interesting to talk about. Then, of course, we have Father's Day on the 15th. I guess I better hurry up and get home from Father's Day. My dad's going to have a fit. I'm not going to be in town. I'll be in Las Vegas. And what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's all I got to say about that. Then we've got the awesome, wonderful, amazing Las Vegas Comic-Con, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Now, it would have been really cool if the Combat Con and amazing Las Vegas Con would have been at the same time. I could have convention hopped. That would have been so fun. So anyway, I'm actually going to speak at Comic Con. Not sure what I'm speaking on yet. I gave him a couple of ideas, but obviously on something with checks and chain mail. Okay, I mean you guys know my books. You would know it's pretty obvious. Talking anything about warfare in the past. Historical warfare with elephants. I always love that idea. Got elephants, got camels, so we can talk about warfare and other animals other than just horses. And how many elephants does it actually take to pull a cannon? And how many horses does it actually take to pull a cannon around? And then you wonder why I'd rather have an elephant. Okay, so there you go. So amazing Las Vegas Comic Con 20, 21st, 22nd. Hey Jay. And then of course we got coming up in actually a weekend here in June that has nothing on it. I mean, how could that happen? I don't know. I won't know what to do with myself. 28th. So for those who actually want to fill up my weekends, I'm sure you can get started now. And then, of course, the Friday after that, we actually have an Independence Day on a Friday. Wouldn't that be cool? And get Friday off. That'd be 3-day weekend. Woo-hoo! For those who actually get 3-day weekends. I'm just saying. July, what do we got? I don't know. I know we got a couple things in July yet. I don't have anything on my calendar. That's naughty. I know the San Diego Comic-Con's in there. So, San Diego Comic-Con, somewhere in July. It's hiding somewhere there. August 2nd, we have Maricopa Comic-Con. Maricopa, not Comic-Con. It's Maricopa Con, and it's a gaming convention. And from our good friend, Jason. Hey, Jason. Second and third. And August. Yeah, I know we got some Worldcons in August, and so, you know, you guys can take a look at those. I mean, how many Worldcons close by, so good luck with that. And what else do we have going on for KWOD? I don't know, that's it. Well, if you guys are going to fill up my weeks next week, we do it. I do know that I've got some classes that I'm starting up here, and one of them is going to be starting June 4th. That's Wednesday, June 4th. Be module one of the Jungle Survival for Authors class. Module one, it's a 3-week class from 6 to 9. At Wildflower Bread Company at 7001 North Scottsdale Road. You want to hit me up on my Facebook page. I've got information on the modules and what's in each module and what's actually in each week. So it's our June 4th. We have to jump a week because of lack of availability of the Wildflower Bread Company. So the first week class will be on the 4th of June. The second week will be on the 18th, and the third one will be on the 25th. Same location, being that channel. And that'll be module one. Then the next module will be July 9th. We'll take off the week of Independence Day week, because I know you guys will be worthless that week anyway. So, you might as well work with it. So Module 2 starts on the 9th, 16th, and the 23rd. Also, don't forget that we and KWOD Radio have our brand new show, Hey Girls. It's a music, Americana music. We had an awesome show last night, and I'd say I'm so proud of our group of Renegades. Call you guys Renegades. And it was an awesome show. We had the Black Mountain Moonshine group who played live, and we got great pictures of them, and we even got a video. So we're just out there making it happen, people. And that's, you know, when I woke up after my near death, I knew I meant to do a couple of things. One was I needed to write my book. And then some. You know, you don't just write one book. You got to write one book and then some. But I also needed to help others to write their books, to tell their story. Doesn't matter if fiction, nonfiction, doesn't matter to me, because everyone has a story, and some people have both, fiction and nonfiction. I know I do. I even suggest it for most people who write fiction to write some fiction, but then write a nonfiction to put it in front of their fiction, so that way they can get speaking gigs. Can't get speaking gigs doing being a fiction author, unfortunately, unless of course you're a big name author like Stephen King. Then everybody will ask you to come and speak. But until then, you need to have another nonfiction book in front in order to actually make it work. But that's about writing. And, you know, I can talk about writing for 2 days straight if I actually have the inclination. Which is why I actually teach it now. So it's not about writing so much as about the process of publishing, the world of publishing, and how to deal with it. How to get around things. What were my mistakes? Well, what things did I find to be true? And that's what the jungle survival marketing for authors is about. It's about wading through the jungle with my finding all those trap doors and vines that covered and obscured things that we needed to find. And it's craziness. But again, I'm on Facebook, so you can find me and definitely get information about these particular modules. I'm also teaching the one on, had already taught the manuscript to, from manuscript to sales in 7 weeks last year around October. And my Hardy group of five, all of them have their books on now. And found out one thing is that we needed one more week to really make it all the way through ebooks. Because I teach them not only how to pull the book together, but I also teach them how to actually set up their company. How do you set up a publishing company anyway? Some people say, well, we just come up with a name and we're done. No, that's just the beginning. Kind of like when you write the book, are you done? No, you just started. Now you actually got to market and sell it. Even more so, you got to have a good package. You got that product that you have in your hands, which is your book, needs to look awesome, because if it doesn't, people want to buy it. When you think about it, walk into a grocery store and say, "Oh yeah, I want to go get eggs." Let's use that example. I need some eggs. So you walk over to, and he's got like six brands of eggs. Okay. And you open them up. You think that all eggs are created equal, and they're not. And you get some that look like they came right out of the nest. They've got, you know, chicken poop on them. Or can I say poop here? Sure. They got chicken poop on them. And they've got, you know, scratches and it's still got hay on them. They haven't washed them. Is it the same egg that you get from the other container that where the eggs are washed? Yeah, it's the same egg. But one of them's clean and one's not. The farmer with the clean eggs made an effort to actually make their eggs look appealing enough for you to buy them. And while that might be a crude analogy, that's what I think about some authors who slap a cover on it and think, oh, looky here, I designed this. And put the book together in Word. No, I didn't look to see, you know, what it was selling. I didn't see what the price is. I want $22 a book. Well, why? Because I want $22 a book. You didn't market your book. You didn't figure out what your target market is. You didn't find your mean price for your particular product. There's so many stages of this business that you guys don't know about yet. And I've gone through a lot of that. Wasn't ISBN, well, why can't I just get one from Crayspace? Well, yeah, you can. But then who owns a book? Who owns the right to distribute that book once, say, ISBN goes on their book? These are all things that we need to talk about, and all things that you guys need to learn when you get into a business. And that is indeed what you're doing. You put a product in the market, which is your book. You're now in business. You better darn well act like it. Because it's exactly one reason why it's not selling. Because you haven't made a business. You haven't started at the ground up and actually made a firm foundation for your book, for your product. You haven't designed a logo that's going to be your publishing company, that's separate, not your name. When somebody orders your book, you turn it around and ship it on a timely manner. Because you're in business now. So these are all things you have to consider when you decide that, hey, I don't want to give my rights up to a publishing company. I want to do it myself. Because, you know, I want all the money, I want all the risk, and I want all the rewards, and that's wonderful. But you still need to do your homework. And honestly, you need to do a marketing plan, you need to do a business plan, just like as if you had a business. Because you need to discuss branding. You need to discuss what you plan on doing with that book. It's not enough to say, hey, I wrote a book. Oh, that's awesome. You and a couple other million people. So how do you get out there and get noticed? How's your package actually look right alongside of a book that's been done by Simon & Schuster? Penguin. You name it. Does it sit well right next to it? Can a person open up either book without a branding on it? Let's say I went and took a couple of books and took off the logos or covered them up and said, okay, tell me which book is a self-published book and tell me which book is printed by one of the big six publishers. They should be able to open that book and not know. Or have a hard time distinguishing between your book and one from Penguin. And that's what these classes are about. That's what I teach, how to make your books look like those books. Say, well, yes, but I want to be different. You can be different. But don't make it unprofessional. That's the difference. So I'm going to go on a short break here just because I need to actually get a drink. And since I don't have anybody here, I can't let them talk on and on while I grab my drink like I usually do. It's just me, myself, and I, 714-242-5145, and I've only got a few more minutes because I have other things to do. So if you guys don't want to talk to me, then I'm certainly not going to keep talking. You want to be quiet out there? That's your church mouse, not mine. So, hang on a second, and I'll be right back. Good thing I wasn't saying anything. Although you guys got to listen to me burping and drinking. Because I forgot to turn it off. Anyway, I don't know what else we can talk about, but you know what? I really wish somebody would get on here and talk to me about what their memories would be. I remember a book that I saw. That based on a story, actually, a movie that came to be. Obviously, it came from the book first, people. That it was pretty good. It had Robin Williams in it. And What Dreams May Come. Is that a story? What Dreams May Come. Let me look it up. Yeah, What Dreams May Come. Interesting story. And that movie was actually with Robin Williams and Cuba Gooding Jr. Remember Cuba. What Dreams May Come is 1998 American drama film starring Robin Williams. The film is based on a 1978 novel of the same name. Written by Richard Matheson. I don't know if Richard actually wrote anything else. It would be interesting to know. It's got some beautiful pictures on this particular. I think the cover was done really well. It has Robin Williams walking along with his dog. And there's something old about it. In actual life, there is more. That's the idea. I think another one that was really strange, and honestly reminded me a little bit of this movie. And a friend of mine was talking to me about it. And that one was with Tom Hanks. And that was Atlas something. What was that one? Atlas. Cloud Atlas. Yeah, that was a weird one. Cloud Atlas. And, you know, I think that What Dreams May Come is actually a little bit easy to understand. Even though she comes in the form of another person up in heaven. I thought that was interesting. I'm not talking about Cloud Atlas. I'm talking about What Dreams May Come. If you guys haven't seen that one yet, you should try to find it. That's an interesting one. Cloud Atlas is not something you should be watching while drinking. And I mean that in a good way, because it's very intricately woven. And you really have to pay attention, because you're going to miss something that's important to the story. And the story has six different stories. So there were definitely something, you're talking about what went wrong with Cloud Atlas. And really, honestly, the whole point is that the reason why that it didn't do well in the box office is because it was too complex for most people. It's not a linear progression to the story. If you understand what I mean, you start point A and point B. Almost the same problem they had with, what, not quite so drastic, with, Time Travel. Time Traveler's Wife. The Time Traveler's Wife was also somewhat complex in that they keep moving through time and you keep seeing him in different ages and her in different ages. So, you know, if you're not paying attention, you don't understand, you know, that the same girl or the daughter, she becomes better at time travel than the father does. She learned to control it. Well, that was very interesting. And as most of the people who know me, time travel is my thing. So, even more so than chicks and chainmail. So, what went wrong with Cloud Atlas? It was a very complicated story. It involved multiple people, the same people, okay? And it's the same people inside. Since it was the same people inside, but they look different. So, you're going, okay, so how does that work? Again, it's like what goes around comes around, guys. If you believe in reincarnation. Well, if you believe in reincarnation, then, you know, you should be able to get your head around that. I have a hard time getting my head around reincarnation yet. So, because of that, it's, you know, this is a little bit of a complicated story, but I understood it and still appreciated what they were trying to say. Yeah, I mean, the novel itself, apparently, which I would actually want to read it now, was initially deemed unfilmable due to the Russian style-like structure of the novel, telling six stories, each from a different time and place, beginning with the earliest and continuing chronologically. Each story stops midway, with the exception of the final one set in the future, which is told in its entirety, after which the book moves backwards chronologically, finishing each story. It is very big, probably the most complicated movie I've seen in a long time. And I appreciated the whole thing, but you really had to stay on your toes to figure it all out. And for a while there, you would totally get lost, and it takes a while to catch up and say, okay, this guy is actually this guy, and he's in another time as this guy. So it's very interesting how that works. I can understand why they would have trouble actually making that into a screenplay. Yeah, and I'd be interested to see how they wrote it originally. I'm glad, actually, probably the only reason why I actually worked with it because Andy Wachowski actually was one of the film makers for that particular movie, having understood complexity of spirituality in his other works. I think it helped him to understand and wrap his head around this particular story. So, again, Cloud Atlas, another one, very spiritually based, said to you really have to work out to get it. What Dreams May Come, as again, that was a 1980s movie. So if you can find it, definitely take a look. And at one point we were talking about the fact that what would we regret if we died tomorrow, if we died today. And this actually, that particular movie, What Dreams May Come, actually discusses that in some aspects. And I can't tell you too much more about that because I don't want to ruin it if you want to see it. It's well worth your watch. Nothing more that's got some beautiful scenery that it interweaves into. And the different people's view of what heaven is about. What is heaven to you? So whether you're religious or not is not really the point. The point is that, you know, if we die, what happens? And these particular movies actually try to deal with some of that. you move into another being and actually finish your journey, so to speak. Did you get to where you needed to be? Or did you divert and take some evil route and have to destined to go back again in order to fix it? Because you screwed up the first time. Or the second time, or the third time. Makes you wonder how many times certain beings in this world, I'm talking about history, certain people in history who didn't just make it their calling to do something with their own life, but to screw up as many people as they possibly could. Talking about you, Hitler. Wonder how many lives he has to live in order to actually fix his wrongdoings, or did he bother? Can we actually go back and do that? I don't know. I'm not giving answers here. I'm actually asking questions. I know what my beliefs are, but, you know, I've also been known to be very open-minded, and you want to argue about the future of what happens after you die. I'm more than welcome to talk to you about it. Just don't get nasty. Because, you know what, I got a button here that turns you right off. But, hey, this is about, you know, broadening the mind and thought around things that maybe we just don't understand. And maybe you've seen something that we haven't. And that's how we grow, is we find out ideas, some things from other people that we hadn't considered. So, Cloud Atlas, if you really have the time to go back and watch it at least a couple times after you watch the first one, then definitely take a look at it. It's going to take you a couple times to get through it. It is a long movie, so just a warning. Make dinner before you start. Make it a long weekend. See it two or three times and then talk about it, because this is the kind of movie that you guys need to sit down and talk about. The Dream May Come is also one of those that right after you see it, you don't want to be alone. You really don't. You don't want to be alone after seeing a movie like that. You don't want to be alone when you watch Cloud Atlas, because you really want to talk to somebody about these ideas. And it helps to be able to understand other people's point of view. Or just to get their point of view. Helps you wrap your mind around what it is that they're trying to get tell you in the story. Maybe you didn't get the same thing that your friend did. And vice versa. And that's what's great about movies, is sharing not only the movie, but sharing the idea of what the movie was about. So you guys are being really quiet out there, and I'm going to give you two more minutes, and then I'm going to say adios. But what else we got going? Well, if you're trying to write a book, or you've written a book, and trying to get it to print, give me a call. Write me an email. You can talk to me at editor@thewad.net. That's editor, E-D-I-T-O-R. editor@thewad.net. Another version of the WAD is coming out. I think that's next week sometime. End of next week. In time for Arizona Dream and Romance, and also especially in time for Phoenix Comic Con. Last year we went through 800 copies. And you guys didn't even know who we were. So, we're expecting a lot more people to go through them, and we have several people at different desks, tables that are willing to sit our newspapers on. So it's not just going to be in a freebie area, it would also be on several of the vendor tables. Thank you, guys. Kip Kipstar is one of our new advertisers. He will be at Phoenix Comic Con. Hey, Kip. Song River will be is on our new on our staff now. She is our photographer as well as my right hand person. Love her to death. Hey, Song. I bet you have some ideas about what dreams may come. She talks like that. She has great ideas. Love her. Anyway, we'll be out with video. Chris Mars. I mean, can you believe that name, Chris Mars? Wouldn't you love to have that kind of name? It doesn't work when you say Patty Mars. PG Mars. No. Chris Mars. I mean, it just it goes well together, don't you think? So Chris is also going to be actually talking, doing a show starting on Saturday nights. That's going to be one weekend in a month. We haven't decided which week yet. So keep a lookout for that information. There'll be also a new show here on KWOD Radio. That will be on Saturday nights. And, of course, we still have our shows that we're doing on Sundays, which is To Space and Beyond. I know Don's going to freak out when he hears that. Our space show with Al and Joe. You know, all about getting to space, why do we need to go, and what was our future thought way back when in the 50s when we started looking to the moon. Do we need to go to the moon first, or do we need to go to Mars? I think it's a matter of money, quite frankly. Historical facts. But that's on Saturday nights, 7 o'clock. Arizona time, which right now is Pacific time and Mountain time. 7 o'clock. So Sunday night we have the face show with Al and Joe. Often on Tuesday and Thursdays, although I might be changing that because I'm teaching the classes all summer. And then Chris has a show on Saturday night. Once a month, and every third Wednesday is going to be our Hey Girls Americana show. All about the independent groups here in Arizona, and they're actually not just here in Arizona. We're opening it up to other independent groups in other states. You guys can send in your music. Obviously, you can't be live, but we can definitely put some of your music onto our show. So definitely get in contact with us about that. Just for those who want to get a hold of me on Facebook, pj.holstrand. pj.holstrand. And that's spelled HULTSTRAND. That's two T's, everyone. HULT, Holt, Strand. Really, honestly, it's not that hard. So, you get one, you miss one of the T's, and I get people who say, oh, I emailed you, I sent you this and that, and I say, okay, what was my email? And HULSTRAND. Well, that's fine, it says you missed one of the T's, so that's why it didn't come to me. We expect the email to actually correct it for you. This is not what Microsoft Word. So if you sent me an email and I did not acknowledge you, then it didn't come to me. That simple. So send it to me again. And this time get my name spelled right. HULTSTRAND. And again, you can get on my Facebook and I spelled the same way there. It's kind of a concept. So PJ.Holstrand. And with that, you know what? I'm going to say, oh, I've got to go. I'm going to watch some TV and do some work. I'm behind. Yeah, I had Leprechaun a couple weeks ago, a couple of weekends already. And that's all I got to say about that. We had a good time. We had a real good time there. wish I would have seen more of you out there. That's all I got to say about that. You guys know who you are. Anyway, with that, this is K1 Radio, and this is Patty Holstrand signing out.